Well, hello there, ladies and gents. Great to see you again, and welcome back to Your Money and a Cup of Joe. I'm Ryan Ruff, your moderator, but as always, I'll be joined by Joe Kaleo, and we're going to be getting into another great discussion here on the show. We got a really interesting one teed up for you guys today. You know, we're all guilty of this, right? And that's distractions. Boy, can they pull us away from that end goal or that quest that we have in mind to reach some of those most meaningful goals and aspirations that we have for our life, or even our work. Our careers as well, our businesses perhaps. So today, Joe and I thought we'd dive into this topic and explore a process that's often referred to as monk mode. And we'll get into what that means, but it's a system, if you will, that can help empower you to ignore some of life's inconveniences or frankly, just annoyances and do the work that's needed to ultimately get towards those long-term goals that you have set for your future. So before we get into the weeds of that, let's go ahead and say hi to Joe and kick things off for us today. Joe, good to see you. How are we doing?
Ryan, doing well. How about you? You look good. Happy to get into this topic. I think it's a very interesting topic today.
Yeah, I do too. It's off the beaten path for us. You know, we talk a lot about wealth management discussions, obviously, on this show, but this is more of kind of an internal discussion for us today. Why don't you start from a high level for us today? Why is focus such an issue with regard to these annoyances getting, you know, just in the way of life? And set the scene for us, if you will, on this idea of monk mode.
Yeah, when we talk about pursuing goals or achieving breakthroughs of any kind, whether it's personal or professional or both, I mean, certainly tackling challenges and tasks can be tough even in the best of times. But right, when people are pulled in so many different directions just in everyday life and they're trying to reach those goals or reach the finish line on a goal, it can start to feel a little impossible, right? So one of the culprits in these busy times is lack of time and space, whether it's physical or mental or both, where it's necessary to really dig in and work diligently through to be excellent at something. So taking those distractions out and they're coming at us from all angles, trying to eat away at our attention and our attention span and our motivation. So we think it's important to set aside time to be very diligent in your planning and your activity.
I like it. So correct me if I'm wrong, but I want to go back to, you said time and space. It seems to me like this idea of monk mode and the approach of it is really just regaining the time and space that you have in your life. Am I correct in saying that?
I think you're right on target, right? It's based upon people who use it successfully and set aside that time to be very diligent in their activities, right? So as the name suggests, monk mode is essentially involves in taking steps to focus on with extreme intensity on a path that we want while shutting out some self-defeating distractions and habits and thoughts that can push us off the path that we want to follow. So monk mode, Ryan, is often, you know, a short burst, say a week, although it can be practiced for longer term and take months to achieve. So let's break this down a little bit. It's about tackling goals or motivating oneself to attempt new plans that is significantly different from, say, traditional methods, such as making a resolution. So for example, say you want to jumpstart an exercise program or a fitness plan. Typically, the resolution is to be healthier this year or to stop eating junk food for this year. And it carries with it a little bit of a stronger emotion that you feel in the moment. And as a result, it often fails. Where in contrast, monk mode approaches more involving to, say, committing to 10 consecutive days with no added sugar and maybe 7 30-minute gym visits, right? So it's part diet and part activity. So, but notice it's also committing to a specific number. So this time-defined stretch as well as activity stretch with clear actions can generate a much stronger initial momentum to build on.
Well, this is really interesting, and I can imagine how it would really be applicable or appealing even for, let's say, a business owner or somebody that's working in kind of a high-performing work environment. How would you agree, and how so do you see these kind of professionals maybe adapting this type of a monk mode approach?
Ryan, I think monk mode can have tremendous value in work environments. For example, if you're finding or you need to find uninterrupted time and space to concentrate, to strategize, and actually do your work And doing your work can be surprisingly difficult, right? When you've got a lot of people on your team, a lot of demands on your time, as well as the workload. So consistently shutting out the rest of the world for one or more blocks of your time every day for a week, or maybe even a month, that can potentially enable you to generate better results in less time. So it's telling that 97% of workers who tested a four-day in-office work week reported better performance and less fatigue, according to researchers at Boston College and Cambridge University. Well, the businesses themselves reported a nearly 40% boost in revenue under the more focused arrangement. So it can pay dividends.
Of course, of course. Well, let's kind of dig in a little bit here. Joe, help us to understand just, you know, on a granular surface of what Monk Mode is, but then also how somebody could begin implementing this into their life.
Some of the key initial steps, Ryan, will often build upon, you know, what the challenge is. So you've got to, one, commit to what that challenge is. The first step is commit to a way of working and thinking differently and working differently. And it's much more immersive than, say, a normal or usual method. You might need to be on the board with ideas of working and being deeply focused on tasks at hand, and then ignoring and removing distractions that are probably part of your typical day. Be prepared mentally to stay on that path, whether it's for a week or potentially even several months. And then step two is setting the right goals. Choose no more than three, maybe big overarching goals that you want to achieve. And part of that is homing in like a laser on your initiatives. Too many objectives will dilute your focus and lead to inefficient multitasking. Another reason to keep it small, your goal or goals should be meaningful and important. They should move the needle significantly. Of course, in a business scenario, it may be extremely clear which single goal needs your attention at that moment.
All right, I'm tracking here. So once you have that foundation in place then, Joe, how do you actually hit that point where the rubber meets the road and actually do the focused work that you have the intent and now the time and the space to be able to do it?
Yeah, you want to block off time for the highest value work. Build a non-negotiable wall around yourself when dealing with the steps that will most accelerate your forward momentum. No calls, no meetings, no questions, no distractions. Your terms will depend on the goal, of course, but the chances are this will mean at least 30 minutes a day of dedicated attention on an essential task. Then align time blocks with your most productive hours. So you've probably noticed that there are certain times of the day, most people, about 70% of the time, people say mornings are most productive. So it may make sense to start your day with that uninterrupted window when you're naturally more focused and more motivated to get things done, as well as when blocks of time when your energy flags and your attention isn't as good or when it wanes. So don't fight the trends. Instead, consistently tackle your highest value work when you have the most effort and deal with the small stuff when you have the low energy part of the day. And when you're in that high productivity time block, work in short bursts. For example, try working in 25-minute intervals with a 5-minute break. But certainly don't go past 90 minutes or 120 minutes without a break. That's very important.
Look, Joe, my next question, while yes, it's for our audience's benefit, it's also for my own personal benefit, and that is distractions. I mean, look, everybody gets distracted. Some are much healthier distractions than others. Might be a coworker coming up to you, you know, that partner in your business, or it could be, you know, who knows, the weather, the ball game, the something happening on in your peripheral. Distractions can be unhealthy. So once you have that wall around your time, how does somebody keep that focus and intensely make sure that they are being as productive as they can be in that time block to mitigate the distractions that we all fall victim to?
Ryan, first and foremost is prepare your space for effectiveness. Clear it out. Get those distractions that you may look, oh, squirrel, right? Here it is, taking you off center. So that's hide your phone, clear your desk off, make it distraction free, right? Maybe even hand your phone to your wife or a friend or a colleague, just get it away from you. Block off social media, don't go on the internet, block emails and even IM notifications. Don't let that come back to you to say, oh, let me just take care of this and then I can get back to it. Don't do that. So if you need to work in an entirely different space, do that. The more you can shut out the world around you, the better. And so the more you know what your distraction triggers are, the better off you're going to be. So do one thing at a time. Multitasking is a myth. There was some research done by the University of Wisconsin-Madison that had documented that a bottleneck at a central area of information stopped processing, and so you can really only have one thought at a time. And so other research says it takes roughly 30 to 60 seconds to get back to refocus on that one task after transferring attention to something else. And you want uninterrupted thought processes so you can really think through the tasks or the activities that lay ahead of you.
All right. I appreciate that. I kind of want to flip the coin now and talk about those moments where maybe we're not in a so intense mode of focus. Are there any things that we can be doing during, let's say, that downtime where we can still be effective and productive ultimately towards maybe that end goal in sight?
Ryan, I'm gonna share a personal side of this to you because this is really important for me. The Human Performance Institute in Florida talks about you really do need to take breaks. I previewed it a few moments ago. Every 90 to 120 minutes, take a break. And it's necessary. So many times, and it was in their research in that they had talked about 70% of people had slower periods in the afternoon. And that talked about they needed to take breaks in the morning so they'd have energy in the afternoon. So too often we take breaks that leave us tired and unmotivated to return to that focused activity. Breaks should include physical movement of some kind, maybe a brief walk, jumping jacks, push-ups, something, maybe even some stretching and some hydration, right? Maybe even it's a quick chat with a friend about sports teams like we were doing before we got started this morning. Just something to break the work up a little bit along the way. And so you feel restorative, right? Something where you feel energized to get back into the topic. But I can even tell you that I still fall victim to this. My wife told me that I was going long stretches without a break and I was too intense. So you've got to take that step back, regenerate, rejuvenate, right? And don't forget to celebrate wins along the way. So your focused work is meant to be and help achieve clear results. But be sure you define those moments so in the short, medium, and long terms, you know what to succeed with. I read a great book called The Gap and the Gain. And many CEOs set goals, achieve goals, but don't celebrate the wins along the way. And when they don't, they suffer depression. And so the goal here is to celebrate along the way and have good balance along the way. And that's going to help you achieve your next set of goals.
Joe, I think that's really important. And a lot of folks out there needed to hear that advice right there. As we are bringing our conversation to a head here today, any final advice for folks out there on cutting through life's distractions and being able to kind of charge head on towards those goals that they have with, intensity and of course, focus, as we talked about.
Yeah, I think let's go back to that very last part that we're talking about is balance, right? We want to get into monk mode. We want to focus. We want to have uninterrupted time where we can think through things on our own. But as you set goals and you reach goals, celebrate, whether it's on your own or with somebody, your team, a significant other, make sure you have some appreciation for what you've been able to accomplish on your own and with others along the way. And I think you'll be much better off because of it.
Joe, you have a lot of conversations, not just on the wealth management side, but on the more business owner strategy side as well with a lot of your clients. For any folks out there that could benefit from a discussion with you and your team, just bend your ears a little bit about maybe a situation that they have with regards to their business or their high performance work environment where they could really benefit from trying to lock into that monk mode that we're talking about here today. And they could use, some expertise or some insight from you guys and your team to help them achieve that. What would be the best way somebody could open up a dialogue with you?
I'd say give us a call, shoot us an email. Happy to have a conversation. There are a lot of people that are doing that because they'd like maybe a second opinion, or where am I missing an opportunity? And we enjoy having those conversations, Ryan, and we're always open to having it. So give us a call.
Awesome. Awesome. Well, Joe, hey, I know you've got plenty of clients to serve, so I'll let you get back to doing that. But I appreciate you and looking forward to being back on the next one with you.
Thanks, Ryan. Same here.
Alrighty, folks. And hey, look, we got to take one final moment, as we always do, and thank you, our audience members, for jumping along and being with us here on the show today. If you did enjoy the day's discussion surrounding this idea of monk mode and kind of cutting through the distractions, being more productive, make sure you subscribe to the show on the platform you listen to us on today so that you don't miss out on any great conversations just like this. Before Joe, I'm Ryan. We're going to go ahead and say so long, but we appreciate you stopping by and being with us on Your Money and a Cup of Joe. This presentation is for informational and educational purposes only and should not be relied upon as investment advice or the basis for making any investment decisions. The views and opinions expressed may not be those of UBS Financial Services Incorporated. UBS Financial Services Incorporated does not verify and does not guarantee the accuracy or completeness of the information presented. This material is made available for use by CEG. Neither UBS Financial Services Incorporated nor any of its employees provide tax or legal advice. You should consult with your personal tax or legal advisor regarding your personal circumstances. As a firm providing wealth management services to clients, UBS Financial Services Incorporated offers investment advisory services in its capacity as an SEC registered investment advisor and brokerage services in its capacity as an SEC registered broker dealer. Investment advisory services and brokerage services are separate and distinct, differ in material ways, and are governed by different laws and separate arrangements. It is important that clients understand the ways in which we conduct business, that they carefully read the agreements and disclosures that we provide to them about the products or services we offer. For more information, please review the PDF document at ubs.com/relationship summary. UBS Financial Services Incorporated is a subsidiary of UBS AG, member FINRA, member SIPC. Joe Kaleo at Kaleo Wealth Management Group, UBS Financial Services Incorporated. Office address 200 West Highway 6, Suite 400 in Waco, Texas, 76712.